see how God prospered Abraham, you can see how he prospered you. Same blessing. Gold, silver, cattle, land, employees, same blessing. Same blessing. This is business by the book. Okay? Now, in that, Paul talks about it. Let's go over to Romans, please. And Romans chapter 14, I think it is. Romans chapter 14. I think that's where it is. No, it's Romans chapter 15. So Paul taught on the blessing of Abraham coming on the Gentiles. He taught it. And look what Paul said over here in Romans chapter 15 and verse 29. And I am sure that when I come to you, I shall come in the what? Fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. The fullness of the blessing. Nothing can stop you when the blessing is on your life. The blessing protects you. The blessing will provide for you. The blessing will prosper you. The blessing will speak to you. The blessing. So it must have been something to it when Jacob wanted to steal it. That was the blessing. Okay? So that's on you right now. The anointing of God. So you have a mantle on you. I'll call it a mantle because it's an anointing, but it's like a cloak. You have a mantle on you for prosperity. Let's go to it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, please. This is probably as many scriptures as I've ever covered in this class. So you must be a special group. Amen. All right. I knew I wouldn't get any pushback on that. All right. Let's cover one more thing in this grouping. All right. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and then look at verse 17. You with me? And thou shalt say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth you what? Power to get what? Wealth, that he may what? Establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. See the word establish? You ready for it? Let me give you the Hebrew. Continue. It means to continue his covenant. The same one he made with Abraham, he wants to continue it with you. Okay? And that covenant he's talking about is the Abrahamic covenant. All right? Now, understand, it's my power, not your natural ability. My power is going to outrun your natural ability. Okay? And the might of my hand has gotten you this wealth. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now, the word says to get wealth. Another translation says to gain wealth. But the most accurate translation is to amass wealth. That's what that word means. And if you got the wrong picture in your mind, then you're always making money, but it's always being eaten up. It's not the idea. And I'm going into what the idea is right now. Okay? All right, let's go into the last part of this. So, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. How are we doing? We doing okay? Okay, all right. Like I say, every now and then I like to stop by and just give you the Winston version. Amen. But see, you're learning the fundamentals of business and so forth and so on and what to do and so forth. I'm just adding the super part to it. Yeah. Telling you what I do. I've added something to it. Oh, we won't fail. Because even in a time of famine, Psalms 37:19, you shall have be satisfied. Why? Because of the blessing. The blessing will produce if nobody's getting a profit. Doesn't make any difference. Because it's a covenant of God. And God promised you that he's going to increase you more and more. Not fall where the economy falls. That's not the covenant. All right, look what it said in Revelation chapter 1 and look at verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us what? Kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's look at this last part. Kings and priests, a divine partnership. Kings and priests, a divine partnership. All right. What are we talking about? Now, I won't go all the way through this because there are some pieces to it, and I don't need to go through it. But kings, and I think if you've listened to me at all, you've got some of this. Kings are those who have an anointing for the marketplace. Kings. Okay, we're talking about this is a calling now. Priests are those who have an anointing for the more of the sacred matters of the kingdom. Spiritual matters, pardon me, not sacred, spiritual. Okay? So here, natural, here, spiritual. So this person here could be a pastor, could be a prophet. This person here could be a mayor. Could be a business person. Could be in Hollywood. Could be a stay-at-home mom or dad. That's kings. But this is marketplace. And this is more spiritual matters. Now, these two are going to come together in the last days for a divine partnership. Partnership indicates that there are two parts, meaning that I have a part and you have a part. So let's say I'm the priest. Okay? So as the priest, I have a part to play. So what do? I have a part to preach the word. I have a part to pray for the saints. I have a part to receive tithes and offerings. Now I'm talking about for the main, if I can use Old Testament here. Part to receive tithes and offerings. I have a part to pronounce blessings on the people. I have a part here to take care of the widows and the orphans and so forth. Priest. Now over the king's side, for the main thing, is a king would go out to battle. Today we're not battling with anybody per se, but they would go out and do whatever their gifting is in the marketplace, in the world. They would go out and do that, all right? And then they would also be the ones who would actually get the spoil from the marketplace. So these are people who are in God now. I'm not talking about just anybody. So now then they would get the spoil, and then they would bring the spoil back in. And a portion would go into the temple. That would be the tithe or the offering, whatever it would be. And then they would occupy the more secular matters of the nation. They would be teachers and they would be bricklayers and they would so forth and so on. Kings and priests. Now, what has happened strategically is because, for the most part, the church has lost this revelation. Then there has been a schism, a division between these two. And they didn't realize that they are part of an unbeatable team and that they are supposed to come together. So the enemy has tried to put a divider or tried to divide the pew from the pulpit and somehow make that a place of tension rather than it be a place of partnership. You got what I'm saying? And so as that has come about, now it has caused the kingdom to suffer. Because what you've got is you've got the kings now, and the kings would actually go out in business, and they're trying to do business without any divine assistance. Now, if you know anything about tribes, Indian tribe or tribes in Africa or whatever have you, you would have a king of that tribe, but you would also have one that was either on his level or just below it that would have look like as much to say, and that person would be called a witch doctor. And the witch doctor would be there because the witch doctor was the one that was in control of spiritual affairs. Now, even I know they were bad spiritual affairs, but nevertheless, that person had that part. And they would always flow together. Or if you had the Queen of England and the Pope, you would always have this combination, because it's out of that combination can you win certain battles. And so the king is trying to go to battle without many times a word from the priest. If nothing else, let me show you two places. I want to go to Amos and Amos chapter 3. And I want to go also to Romans and Romans chapter 10, those two places. Amos chapter 3, and if you want to look at the verse for that and put it down, it's Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Okay. Amos, let's do Amos first. So Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he received, the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. So right there, it's telling you that there is something that this prophet's going to have over here. And he's going to have it before the kings get it. Because God won't do anything in this earth or let it happen without first revealing it to the prophets. Trace the scriptures all the way back. The prophets were the first one to say, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time, and so forth and so on. Whatever it is, the prophets got it. Now, if the prophets know what's coming, I heard a man tell me one time, all you got to do is get rich is find out where everybody's going and get there first. And so if the prophets can tell you where everybody's going, and then the kings catch hold of that and go there first and prepare for that, then the kings can set up camp and everybody will have to buy from them. Amen. But they haven't flowed in that. That's why the enemy's trying to keep it apart, because the church should be loaded with millionaires. We have numbers of billionaires. Yes, sir. But this thing hasn't been working. Yes, sir. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes, all right. So now here is one place, and he said he's going to tell you what's to come. So what did God do? When I was in Bible school, he told me. He said, a great dearth is coming. Show me the scripture over there in Genesis chapter 41. That a great dearth is coming. Economic. So what did I do? Told me what to do, bank and Joseph School of Business, so forth and so on. Why? Because we're going to be basing these on the covenant. Notice what we named the bank. What is it called?
Covenant.
Covenant Bank, sure. It's based on something that will override the curse. Are you following what I'm saying? See, and show you things to come. And I told people, how long I've been telling them to buy gold? Come on now. Years. Had to be 10 years. I mean, I told them when gold was down to $121. Yeah. That's he got to buy gold. And you haven't seen the end of it. But see, these two have been wrote together. This one didn't respect this one, and this one didn't respect this one. Oh, didn't pastor preach a nice sermon? Pop, 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 pop. Praise the Lord. And all the time, that priest, that prophet, that pastor preaching that sermon, if you come in here hungry for answers, all things are yours. That means he's yours. That means whatever's in him, you can draw it out. Well, we got one of the people that told me, said, Pastor, I sure am glad you preached that sermon you preached 2 weeks ago. I said, are you kidding? I said, what is it? He said, you told me to sell my stock, and I did it. Now, I didn't mention stock in my sermon at all. But that's what the Holy Spirit had him hear. And guess what? He sold it. He said, I saved hundreds of thousands of dollars. I saved a lot of money. He said, man, I would have been wiped out. I said, well, what was the stock? Enron. Got it? It came through the prophet. That's why Jesus said, blessed are those. He said, this is for those who have ears to hear, let them hear. People don't come to hear nothing. They just want to see if their preacher is out preaching that preacher down the street. Whoever can sweat the most. Boy, he's preaching. Boy, he's laying it down, isn't he? Praise the Lord. No. See, you're getting entertained. But it's not about that. So, in this relationship is very important. Another good example for you is George Bush, not George Bush Senior, but Senior George, no, Junior, but Senior George Bush. I saw him on, they were giving a Billy Graham, opening a Billy Graham library. And I saw them there, and it was him and Clinton and Carter. And these three presidents. And when he got up, George Bush Sr., he began to cry. Tears came to his eyes. He said, I remember so much when we had something that we were facing called Desert Storm. And he said, I remember I called and found Billy Graham. And said, I told Dr. Graham, you come to the White House and you stay here and you tell me what to do here. And he said he came to the White House and stayed with me. Now, how many of you know how long Desert Storm lasted? 30 days. See, it's not supposed to take long. You being in a battle for a contract for 8 months is not God's best. You being in a court battle in 6 months and so is not God's best. He promised you over in Luke that he'll deliver you speedily. But this peace is not there. The unbeatable team. And what does the enemy do? Keep it apart. He knows when that team hooks up, he is in trouble. Now I'm talking about business by the book. Okay? Now, you got to watch it because sometimes the tendency is one or two of them will try to overstep their boundaries. Now I'm going to go to that in just a minute, but let me just show you one more thing. Can I show you this? Let's go over to Romans. And Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10. I'm almost done. Romans chapter 10. Now, a lot of this other stuff that I got typed up here, business by the book, when the Civil War changed and all that, I think I'll give that to you next time. Praise the Lord. Maybe I... Amen. This is what you need to hear. I can get Dave or Mark or somebody to give you the other stuff. This is what you need to hear right now. This is key. Look what it said in Romans chapter 10. And look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? Well, how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a who? Preacher. Well, how shall they preach except they be sent? Come on down to verse 17. So then faith cometh how? By hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. So one of the jobs of the preacher or the person who is under the priest is to preach the word of God so you'll have faith so that you can go out that next Monday and see some things or do some things that you weren't able to do before because now you got faith to do them. His job is to encourage you. His job is to speak life to you. His job is to bless you. And so when you go out that next time, you have a confidence inside. And that's all faith is. And remember, you need faith to move the hand of God. So you need God's hand in this situation in your business. But what you need to move God's hand is faith. How does faith come? By hearing. So as a preacher preaches the word, you get faith, you go back out next Sunday, next Monday, and you get victory. Just like that. All right, now what I said is that, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 14, please. Proverbs chapter 14. And let me know when you get to Proverbs chapter 14. And look at verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. You're there, right?
Yes, sir.
Verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way are the ways of death. See? So you can't just judge it by your logic, because there is a way that seems right to a man, but it's the wrong way. And the enemy will use that because he's God over that reasoning realm. So he tries to deceive people, especially Christians, in trying to get them into a place where they make the wrong decision. Because it looked right. Because it looked right. All right? Now, overstepping your boundaries, you got to watch that. And as for that, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 13, please. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Now, all this, I'm writing a book on. Wouldn't that be nice? Amen. Hey, you just get the book. Look at the book. Praise God. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 13. I have a whole series of teachings on this now called Kings and Priests. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 13 and look here at verse 5. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and the people as the sand which is upon the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Bethaven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in strait or in a tight situation, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets, and in the rocks and in high places and in pits. Now verse 18. Verse 7. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilead, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, and that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore I said, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. So I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast kept and has not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. And the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. Who was that? David. And the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. What did he do? What did Saul do according to this reading? He was a king. He was leading the army. He was waiting on Samuel, but Samuel didn't come. So what did Saul do? He took up Samuel's priestly responsibility. Watch this. He stepped across the line. And you got to watch that, because God is preserving this revelation. He's preserving this revelation. Stay in your own lane, as they used to say. Praise the Lord. Now understand, in your own home, you're a king and a priest. You go out to work, you come in and pray for the family, your children, so forth and so on. Come to prayer meeting, so forth. So understand, I'm talking about on a corporate level. This is what I'm talking about now. Are you following me? Okay. So I'm just saying, stay in your own lane. You know what I mean? Don't let, because you're making money, start telling the priest what to do. Let me come over here. That didn't go down too well. This is very important, folks. I've been in churches, and the trustee board tells the priest everything to do. And the priest is afraid that he'd get his check cut off, so he does it. Are you following what I'm saying? So this is very important. Now, last thing, okay? I know you've been very patient with me. I sure do. Thank you. All right? No. The flow. Okay, all right. Okay, I'm finishing up. So what has happened? The church has not recognized its kings. And because of it, the kings became spectators. Just coming to church. And some, because either of their business is prospering and getting busy, they even stop coming to church. They haven't seen their part to play in this whole scheme of things. And so many were just forced outside. They want to do other things. Now they haven't picked up the vision that comes through the pastor for the church. In other words, we need to build a school for our youth over here. We need to build a Christian Life Center over here. They haven't picked that up because they haven't seen their place in it. So now, because the kings kind of came when they wanted to and didn't come when they didn't want to come, all of a sudden they saw it where the priests would have to be there because he's the pastor. But they didn't see the fact that they have to be there because they are anointed to be kings. In the end, every one of us is going to have to answer for his calling. Lord have mercy. So, what did the priest start doing? Fundraising. The priest has never been anointed to fundraise. Amen. He's been anointed to preach. Amen. Got it? Yeah. So what tires him out, what gets him anxious, what makes it so he doesn't prepare his sermons or her sermons properly and so forth and so on, busy trying to fundraise. As Rodney King says, can't we just get along? And, okay, I didn't mean that. But, so... Now, what is happening? Results, the king became spectators, eventually dropped out. What happens now? So, let me just drop all the way down here. So the result is the vision of God never got fulfilled. There was a lack of unity in the church, so the power was lacking, and the gospel was not spread, which was a key. Okay? And last thing. So, the full flow of your office comes when you decide that the kingdom is more important than anything else. Okay? And, I know I wrote it down here. Come on now. If you look at the Muslims, they are expected to finance Islamic training camps. Every other religion does this. But because the kings and priests' revelation had been lost, the people that God has identified and raised up to be able to finance the kingdom have not been in place. And so a lot of the kingdom, the war has not been financed. So God is raising you up. He's raising you up. And in the end, you're going to have to answer to your calling. All right? Now, you know, I don't care who it is. They got spiritual mothers and, you know, people like Oprah and all of them. They know there's a spiritual content to what they're doing. They know that. Okay, so the truth is the kings and priests need each other. Okay? And there was one other thing I wrote down here, but I can't find where it is right now, but I think I'll just leave it. Okay, let me just stop there and just say this. I was in India, in South Africa recently, in Durban, South Africa, and we had Pastor Basil's church. And I was back preparing to bring the message. And Pastor Basil said, okay, the man of God needs money because he needs fuel to go back to America, and we want to raise the fuel for his flight back now. So here's what I want to do. I want to get my kings, what did he call them? God's financiers. I want to get my God's financiers, and I want them to finance this. So I guess about seven of them stood up or something like that. They stood up. Now, who were these? Business owners. So they stood up, or whatever. And they stood up, and he said, okay, I want to get this thing dealt with. And this is how much it is. And this one said, I'll take this much. This, I'll take this much. I'll take this much. That was less than 5 minutes. Done. Now, the one that was taking my wife and I around, Brother Tim, he took us by his house, which was a guy, I mean, and then he took us by one of his restaurants. Now, he's saying every time I participate in these, God adds restaurants. He adds businesses. Are you following what I'm saying? Why? Because he realizes part of the reason why God is making him rich is so that God can establish his covenant. Amen. He's got to take the gospel out. And it costs money to do it. So he has placed in the church God's financiers. God's financiers. So you're going to be a millionaire for God. Got it? You're going to be a millionaire for God. That's not just a declaration. I said you're going to be a millionaire for God. All right? So that's what I've got. And the other part here where, you know, the history of business, when it started, how it's doing now and all that. I'm going to have to get another time and go back through it because this has been just a wonderful session that we've had today. Now, do you have any overall questions or anything like that that you want to ask that might be key before we leave? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
I wanted to ask about when you was talking about stepping over the boundaries.
Yeah.
When David went into the priestly a place and got the shoe bread to feed the men because they were hungry from the war and everything. I wanted you to expound on that a little bit.
Okay. Well, one of the things that David had is he had three anointings on his life. The anointing of a prophet, a priest, and a king. Got it? Now, when he went in there and get that shoe bread, he went into a place of not being a he went into a place of going from a servant to a son. He saw something. And as a son, you can go into daddy's house and get whatever you want. Anytime. And I believe he saw that. And David understood righteousness, that he was the righteousness of God. And when you've got perfect fellowship with God, when you can finally arrive at that, you can go get what you want. You can walk right in there. Remember Esther? And remember how Esther put on her royal apparel, that righteous robe, and went in there and got half the kingdom. Where normally, if you came in there unrighteous, you'd be killed. Well, if you came into there and touched that ark or came in there and got that showbread unrighteous, you'd be wiped out. So I'm just saying, a lot of times we cry to God, oh God, give me the answer. That is unrighteous. That's against scripture. He said, come boldly to the, come on. Didn't he say that? All right, that's righteousness. You come like a child, not a stepchild. You're my child. And whatever you want, you come get it. That's for all of us. Is that all right? Did you get something out of this today? I got to get out of here. Thank you very much. All right, now, again, Dave, we'll have a schedule another time here, and I want to go through some of these facts here. I didn't go through the facts. We were talking, well, I did go through some facts, praise God. We were talking about spiritual facts. But see how kings need priests and priests need kings and so forth and so on? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You listen for it. God is telling your prophets what's coming. He's telling the prophets what's coming. Listen for it now, because there's some things coming. And do you know what? The world has no way out. There is no solution. There is no solution. You're going to have to come from the church. And you have been called for such a time as this. And we're going to be coming up with things that we could advise people and so forth. Yeah, let's try that, so forth and so on. Oh, yeah. But you're seeing a lot of things now come on the market that the world has just had to, they're panicking. A friend of mine he said, man, they had a big sale in Denver, some downtown prime property for pennies on a dollar. This guy who he bought the house from, the house of $4 million, bought the house, and he said, the guy whose trustee was selling it, he said, now, I don't want you to give me a bank and tell me to call the bank to verify it, because the bank may be out of business by the time you get ready to buy it. They don't even trust the banks anymore. There was a time you could use the expression, you could take that to the bank. You can't take it to the bank because it ain't going to be there no more, praise the Lord. May not even be there. Now, take it to Covenant Bank, take it to every time, hallelujah. Well, here's the deal. I enjoy doing this with you because part of the interface that I'm having with you is to transfer the anointing on my life to you. Amen. And that's part of what takes place when we do this. You know, it's just not just hearing something or me doing a lecture. It's actually the spirit of it, see, because I want you to pick up the same things that God has given me and the anointing and information or revelation and so forth. I want that same thing to be on you. I am not one of these people. See, that's what happened to Job. That's what a guy came in and preached about Job. He said, you know, they look at that scripture. Job lost everything. And, you know, the blessing was on Job. If you read chapter 1, you'll see that's what the devil told him. He said, you have blessed him. So that same blessing of Adam was on Job. And that's why he got so rich. But he said this. Job lost everything. And then it says, and God restored to Job twicefold all that he had when he prayed for his friends. He said, pray for his friends. He said, a lot of people think that, oh, Lord, bless so and so. He wasn't that. That pray means communicate. It means that Job finally told them how to get what he had. And two things can't occupy the same place at the same time. So because Job told them that and they moved up, he moved up. and God restored everything that he had. So as quickly as you get it, tell it to somebody else. Amen. God bless you. See you next time. You have one more, right there, very quickly.
I appreciate, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Pastor, would you please show us how to download from the Holy Spirit? You had said you took your tennis from somewhere to five.
Now, all right. First of all, it's by faith. And by faith means I got to believe I received it, even though I don't feel it, taste it. I just got to believe I received it. So, Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I need answers to this right here. Lord, I need a teaching for the business school this morning. Now, I just got in at 5 o'clock this morning, and I haven't had a chance to go over it because I just found out I'm going to be in the business school. Just got a call. And so, Lord, I believe I've received the lesson for this morning. Amen. Boom. Next thing I know, I'm sitting eating an egg sandwich. My wife's sitting there. She said, "Sweetheart, you know, God's been speaking to me about blue, blue, blue." I said, "Whoa, that's the message. Praise God." Just that quick. He get it to you. Now, notice what I did. I just believe I received it when I prayed. Amen. Mark 11:24. That's your download scripture.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
All right. Glory to God. Got it.
Thank you, Pastor. Matter of fact, that scripture was on our lesson today. We started Principles of Faith series. Wow. And that's what the teaching was on this morning. As pastors getting ready to go, a couple of administrative things for us for next week. Dewana sent out a note that the SBDC office, Lois White, has sent out a note where she has some time. So if you need some counseling on your business, you can call down there and get an appointment and get some extra counseling, even in addition to your advisor information. Next week, chapter 3 on the anointing book. There's been no quiz yet, but the odds are getting higher. It's going to be a quiz next week. And then for those who didn't make it to the marketing presentation, the makeup date will be the same day as the financial presentation. So you'll have two that day. Okay, so those who didn't make it to the marketing presentation, the makeup date will be the financial presentation date. Any questions at all about anything? Okay, and next week, our class will be on pricing, how to price your products, and a couple other topics. All right, let's stand and pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for your anointing and for the wonderful teaching that we received today, the experience of with the David Samuel store, and for the wisdom that the students brought forth and learned from each other. And we just thank you for an excellent day, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.